So we'll go ahead and get started. I want to welcome everybody to our city council meeting tonight. This is the October 6th regular city council meeting, and I want to welcome everybody. Thanks for being here this evening. I will open tonight's meeting at 5:31 p.m. We always like to open our meetings with prayer, and I've asked Mayor Pro Tem if she wouldn't mind leading us in our invocation tonight.
Absolutely. Please pray with me. Dear God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here together tonight, and I just ask that you would help us to be unified and peaceful as we make decisions that benefit our city and the citizens who make it so wonderful. Again, we just thank you for your presence here and ask that you would guide us with your wisdom. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. And thanks for covering for me last week. You did did a wonderful job. Thank you. Now, if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Item number three is our public comment time. The City Council would like to invite citizens or guests to address the Council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except for public hearings. Those will have their specific time for comments. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R87-11. The Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific item, please state the item number before beginning your comments. We have a timer up there on the screen behind you, and that's where your 3 minutes will be. So, at this time, I'd like to open the podium for anybody who would like to address council. Oh, yes, sir. Can we get your name and address, please?
Steve Smith. 9614 Old Farm Road. I came before you, along with some others from Old Farm Road, in the addition behind HEB back in the summer, and we approached you about the safety of Old Farm Road. Just to let you know, my wife and I have been in our address for 38 years. We have been... We hosted American Night Out back when you could have it at your home, 3 years. We had Yard of the Month last August, and we just wanted to let you know, in regards to Woodway, we're all in. Our track record proves it. We made a recommendation to you this summer to add speed bumps to Old Farm Road. I want you to know, for those of you who are able to vote at that time, you made the right decision. It has slowed people down. It has provided safety for a street, which at one time was not safe. And I just want to come tonight and say thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that very much. Anybody else? This is public comment time, if you'd like to address council.
Okay.
All right.
Is this the last time?
This is it.
Yes, I will.
Okay, come on up. You have 3 minutes, so.
I love this.
Just wanted you to have the option.
Okay, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm here. I live off Oak Hill Drive.
And Ms. Marsh, if we could just get your name and address, please. Thank you.
Amy Marsh, and I live off 9301 Oak Hill Drive, and we love our neighborhood. It's right behind HEB, and we love that we can walk to the grocery store. We can walk even to Starbucks by taking the route by the light up at the corner. And we love that our older neighbors who are in their 70s, 80s, and possibly 90s walk that Oak Hill Drive little loop. That's Oak Hill Drive and Sun. We also have a lot of kids in our neighborhood that walk from the streets.
Sorry, I'm late.
Okay. That are several streets down, So the kids don't drive, but it's two working parents, and those kids that don't drive yet can walk safely to the grocery store and have a little outing and do other things. They can get to the little Pets Plus store that's right by the Take Five and things like that. So we value that, and we value that it can be done safely, and kids and seniors can walk and enjoy exercise. We have some seniors that use walkers now, and at one point around our Oak Hill Drive circle, they stopped walking because they said on Sun Drive, the traffic was so fast that they didn't feel safe. And if you drive by really early in the morning, you'll see some of them have started going super early because as it gets later in the morning, the traffic starts picking up because of the cut-through traffic that's coming from Hewitt and from the two new neighborhoods. So we love the two new neighborhoods, but what we don't love is that it is a cut-through street from Hewitt. And so with that, we have big F-150s cutting through, and we just would love to see that it could be safe where everyone, senior or 3 and 4 year olds that are riding their tricycles around the block, can enjoy that. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Anybody else? All right. Thank you very much. We'll close the public comment at this time. Okay. Item number four is the presentation of the Yard of the Month for October. And I'm wondering if the Walters family is here. Do we have the Walters family? No? Okay. We will be sure to get them the certificate, but this is their home at 412 Woodfall Drive. This is the home of Fred and Joy Walters. And we want to thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Walters, for your outstanding contribution to help make the city of Woodway so beautiful. So can we just give them a round of applause? So thank you. And we'll be sure to get them their certificate and their little sign in front of their yard. So. Thank you so much. All right, Council, if it's okay with you, I'm actually going to jump down to item number 10 on the items for individual discussion, just so we could talk about the signage and the traffic on Old Farm Road and Oak Springs Drive so that the folks who came tonight can get on home. So, Ms. Barkley, I'm moving to item number 10, discussion and consider action to remove, add, or change traffic control devices on Old Farm Road, Oak Springs Drive, and neighboring streets. Can I get a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Thank you so much. Mr. Manager, your comments on number 10, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. There's a lot of stuff to pack in here. I've tried to summarize everything. I've shared some of the information with you as I had that before the packet was due. Other things I've compiled as of today. Yes, there's a lot here. I'll try to just get through it. And I have several exhibits. If there's any questions you have after I'm finished, I'm happy to try to answer those. And I was really trying to over-prepare because I thought we'd have a packed room on both sides of the street, but here we are. So I will. Okay, if everybody can see this, it's really hard to discuss this if you're not very familiar with the area. So we got some, I know everybody loves visuals. So what we began talking about, actually before I do this, I'm gonna read a little bit more background so everybody's up to speed. Mm-hmm. City manager was asked to meet with citizens regarding complaints about traffic safety and traffic volume on Oak Springs Drive. The concern stems from the diverted traffic caused by the installation of speed bumps on Old Farm Road. This installation was in response to several citizens that live on Old Farm Road appearing before the council to express their desire to have speed bumps installed. The city manager, a public safety captain, and the community services director met with three citizens of Oak Springs Drive to discuss their concerns, at which time several traffic control proposals were voiced in an informal discussion. Subsequently, the manager requested the public safety director to conduct traffic studies of the two streets to gather traffic pattern data in preparation for a future conversation. At the time of drafting this document, there are no known life safety issues impacting either street, according to the data provided by routine police patrol and the static traffic trailer. The citizens still desire to be heard before the council to discuss solutions. Being a policy issue, the council may hear the concerns and direct the city manager to proceed as they desire. But the staff recommendation, I know this will be disappointing to some, is based on the facts or apparent facts known to us at this time. Staff recommends no action to be taken. And that's where some of these examples will help justify or explain our rationale, at least. Okay, so here's Old Farm Road. We've highlighted it for your ease of viewing. Here and actually further down Old McGregor Road, we've added no trucks because trucks from several locations were coming through the neighborhood, upsetting folks. Those no truck signs were added at both points of entry into the neighborhood, as well as a stop sign here. Once you enter the neighborhood from Old McGregor Road, you come to a three-way stop, and that leads us further down the speed bumps. These are the ones that were installed at the request of the citizens on Old Farm Road. And what we gathered from visiting with the folks that we met with was their concern was, or what they told us was, the Hunter's Run neighborhood. Which maybe that's helpful if you can see it blown up. Funnels through Old Farm Road to get to the access road to the highway. And according to those folks, when they come into the neighborhood and they approach that first stop sign, they know there's speed bumps ahead. So they divert left, which is where the gentleman lived that I met with that live on Oak Springs. I'm sure they go right to, or they go down to Sun, or they go to other avenues. If you're familiar with that area, there's several egress points, but this is the one they're concerned about. Whoops. Okay, so this is the next street over, Oak Springs. As you can see, it runs parallel to Old Farm Road, and some of the points that the folks met or made that I met with was it's 35% longer, has two blind curves, and again, the main upset is the speed bumps divert traffic to their street. I did receive an email from a gentleman that lives on Old Farm Road. He says, I'll summarize it, we're happy with the speed bumps. We don't want them to be taken out. We came to the council and asked for them. And then there's another citizen that's not on either side of it. It says, why are we continue to waste city resources putting traffic trailers out here? Does a police officer or a council person live on one of these streets? Just to give you an idea, that's wow. we get it from all sides. Yeah. And we try to please everybody, but trying to use data to further policy instead of what we think or what we feel, this is the best way that we knew how to try to address and capture what's happening on both streets. So after I met with these folks, we thought, well, the first thing we better do is put that, I know people don't like it, there it is again, there's that old traffic trailer. But these are the results from June. And I, after the study was completed, I shared this data with the three folks that came to visit with us. As you can see, it's a pretty high amount. 340 vehicles on Old Farm per day, 281 on Oak Springs. Average speed of all vehicles on Old Farm, 20.42 miles an hour. Average speed on Oak Springs, 19.57 miles per hour. Vehicles below 30 miles an hour on Old Farm was 97.72%, and on Oak Springs, 97.59%. That left us with the traveling above 30, which was 2.28 on Old Farm and 2.41%. Also, if anybody wants this, feel free to contact us. I'll share all of the data with anybody that's interested. And there's a notation of over 35 miles an hour. There is zero on one and 35. It, it considers 35 and up a different category, so that's 0.08 of travelers. So after we provide it, I'll go back to June. Everything I just went over, the folks said, well, we appreciate that, but this is June and school is out, and we believe that this data is skewed and doesn't give you the correct representation of what we're dealing with. So I said, okay, that's fair enough. We last month in September, we did the same stationary device, and I'll go back. You can see in June, average numbers of vehicle on Old Farm was 340, and it's now reduced to 317, whereas Oak Springs had 281 vehicles, and it increased to 424 vehicles. We don't know how many are turning right because we didn't go down there, but as you can see, slide for slide, it's pretty 98.8, 97.72, 96.4, 97.59. They're all very close.
600 to 700.
Mm-hmm.
Total.
Yes, sir. So overall in the area, since we've had several people say, we want you to come out here, we want you to look and see what's going on, this is kind of a recap. It says public safety calls generated. So this is in a 12-month period. On Old Farm Road, we had one call, and that was a traffic stop. Sun Drive had seven calls, all traffic stops. Oak Creek Drive, one of the main thoroughfares, had 41 calls, all traffic stops. So, to give you another picture, some of this can be misleading. When it says a traffic stop, that is broken down into several categories. So 41 traffic stops over 12 months. I'll try to blow through these, but registration stickers were 14, no brake light, 11, speed, 7, no headlights, 3, no license plate light, 1, warrant service, 1, no front license plate, 1, running stop sign, 1, no insurance, 1, and no tail light, 1. So of the 41, which we made a note, 25 of those were because we were asked to be out there and see what's happening. Out of the 41, 7 was for speeding. So these are some of the talking points that didn't necessarily originate from our office, but what we like to do when we have people that are unhappy with something, let's say, let's come together. No options off the table. Just let's openly discuss everything that could be. And that ended up being a number. There was one that's not listed, which was install speed bumps on, what is it?
Oak Springs,
thank you. And they didn't want, the people that I met with did not want speed bumps on their street. And I understand, I have a low profile car and it's difficult to navigate them, but it does also slow me down. So the talking points that we raised and visited around with, again, this was the three citizens with myself, Captain, and our public services director. Says remove the speed bumps on Old Farm Road. That was the request. However, we didn't get that request from anybody on that street. And as I mentioned, subsequent communication, they have said, no, don't touch them. We're happy with them. Another option, remove stop signs at Old Farm Road. If we removed that, you're installing and you're uninstalling traffic control devices. That in itself can create a danger. There wasn't one there. I don't believe beginning of summer, am I right, Chief? Okay. So we didn't feel like that was a stop sign's never a bad thing in our opinion. Then it was close the entrance to Old McGregor Road. And finally close the entrance at Highway 84 access road to Old Creek from Old Creek Drive. Unfortunately, that last one, TxDOT is going to do that anyways. Mitch, I don't know if you've got a better update than I do, but Mitch has heard 5 years, 5 years, 5 years. But I think from gathered from talking with Mitch, they're getting closer to meaning it. So that will be reconfigured with several other things on Highway 84 that we just don't have any control over. But that will greatly impact not only those two streets, but the entire neighborhood. Well, it looks like that's the end of it.
Okay, so, very good.
Again, the totality of the circumstances based on the data that these trailers provided, based on targeted service areas, we're just not getting the information we need to make a recommendation to do anything other than what we're doing at this point.
Mr. Manager, thank you for that explanation. Council staff recommends taking no action on this item. Is there any discussion or any further comments?
My heart goes out to them having 300 cars on, up and down their road every day. And yeah, I mean, what can we do? It'd be great.
That's what we discussed was it's a public road. We can't stop people from going down it, but you do sympathize with people.
Mm. I'll entertain a motion on number 10, please. I'll move to take no action on item number 10 regarding the traffic control devices on Old Farm Road and Oak Springs Drive.
I'll second that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay.
Aye.
The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right, we're going to move back up, and we've already done the yard of the month, so we're going to move to number 5 and have the quarterly presentation from the Public Safety Department regarding their latest crime statistics and law enforcement activities for the fourth quarter. So over to you, Chief.
Sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The power.
All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity, Mayor, Council, City Manager, to present the quarterlies. First and foremost, we like to show a few pictures of what we've been doing or what is going on. If you see on the top left-hand corner, and this is gonna make a little more sense in a second, that is the first ever SWAT team that we ever put together in the early 90s. And third on the bottom is Mr. Todd Gill over there with the first ever Woodway SWAT team. So I wanted to show you that. Bottom left.
Looks the same. Looks I know. Exactly the same.
I think better. Personally, I think better, sir. But the bottom left is the view of our 100-foot ladder looking up. The bottom is our first ever grass truck that we had for our department. It was one that I learned how to drive manual on. The bottom right is a wreck I'm sure y'all heard about that we had with a cement truck just a couple weeks ago right now. And the top is just some fun community events that we do. So going into our quarterly numbers and comparisons of last year at this time to this year, we're looking at 4,577 police calls for service compared to 4,519. And that's everything. That's any call under the sun, officer initiated as well. Of that 4,577, 418 were fire EMS calls compared to 404 in last year at this time. VCO calls for service were 219 compared to 221. Traffic stops were 1399 compared to 1453. Citations were 481 compared to 462. Arrests were 70 compared to 101. And of those arrests, larceny, again, just like last year, was the number one arrested crime, and that's pretty much theft. And 49 accidents compared to 38, 167 reports taken compared to 201. Online solicitation, burglary, sex crimes, and thefts remain the same. And online solicitation is of minors is when an adult attempts to entice a minor, and we had zero of that, and the other stayed the same. Assaults, 8 compared to 10, and as you can see by the blue bar on the bottom, the simple assaults made the majority of that, meaning fistfights, Class C misdemeanors, citations issued. And parties separating. And the other one was counterfeiting or forgery, identity fraud, stuff like that. So Woodway PSC is 50 years old this year. Pretty exciting stuff. It's hard to read, so I'm going to do a little excerpt from this article in the news that was in the news in 1975. It says, Woodway no longer has separate fire and police departments. Under a reorganization plan approved with the adoption of the 75-76 city budget, both services were combined into a public safety department. I think it's really cool 50 years later. That truck that you can't see in the picture. you can see it better on my piece of paper. In the truck is the city manager at the time, who was John Lynch. The public safety director was Lloyd Beam, city secretary Ole Pavelka, and public works director Wayne McKeithen. And they were examining a 1,000-gallon per minute pumper. That cost them $42,000 at the time. That's about the gas now for a year. So now the E1 that we have flows 200 gallons per minute. So we've 2,000 gallons per minute. So we've doubled our capacity, and they go for, as y'all know, around 1.3 million. And that's government contract pricing straight from the manufacturer. So things have changed, but one thing that has not changed is the vision that these original creators had that has come to fruition and develop, in my opinion, one of the best organizations in the nation. So 50 years later, how are we doing? Where are we now? We have a completely fortified SRT team, which means Special Response Team, which is made up of the SWAT team and the negotiators team. We have several paramedics on staff. We have licensed firefighters. Every officer is a licensed firefighter full-time. We have evidence technicians, as you can see by the middle left with the evidence tag number 2 right there. We have digital forensics for cell phones. We are among the only agencies in the state of Texas that has partnered with our federal partners who provide us very expensive equipment to be able to hack phones with search warrants and utilize them for evidentiary purposes. So when other organizations they're looking for a department who can have that kind of capacity and capability, they come to us. A high-angle technical rescue team, bottom left. Left as well is alert instructors, which mean that we are, many of our officers are certified in teaching active shooter training to other departments and to other officers. We, as far as officers training at the police academy, that is for the entire McLennan County, Waco PD, all other agencies in McLennan County, our ratio of teaching there is 1 or 2 compared to other departments. So we are a premier trainer of other officers in this area. Our unmanned aerial team, which is the drone team that was created about a year and a half ago now, is actually our most called out team now, more than the SWAT team, more than the K-9 team. So we were seeing a need when officers were responding to calls of children wandering off, elderly wandering off, where officers just communicating to us that, you know, on these SWAT calls, they have to stick their head up in an attic and look for a suspect when we could just easily purchase a, you know, $700 drone that can go up there and make sure our officers aren't going to get injured. So it was a no-brainer. They've been called out 13 times in this past year to look for individuals and also for SWAT calls. And it has saved a life already during a SWAT call that we can prove. So our K-9 team as well, K-9 officer, that is our older K-9, and Bo, and now we have Don, who is a great, great dog. Kind of cut off on the right side, just some pictures of us doing community events pretty much. We've increased our community events, I'm sure you've noticed, by almost 20% in the last 2.5 years with our Christmas parade, with our just things that we've been doing, Angel Tree, stuff like that we've been doing just to connect with our community more. No motive there. We just love what we do and want people to know what we do and to feel like they can put a face when they call 911 that the officer that shows up is the officer that was standing in front of a fire truck giving their kids a tour. That's kind of our goal. So that camaraderie. Police negotiations. We have a full-fledged negotiation team, which assists in defusing and de-escalating scenes. If an officer is on scene and they feel like they need to call a negotiator just for an individual going through an emotional episode, they have that capability and that authority. And then mental health peace officer certification course. This is a certification that specializes in speaking with individuals going through emotional episodes. And it is compared to ratio, compared to officers on patrol. There's no department in the state that I have found that has more mental health peace officer certified officers on patrol. It is a 2-week certification with research. And we take the time, we held it, one of them in our actual police department, our training room, brought in instructors to decrease that downtime and also to push as many officers as we can into that certification course. And that's the continuing goal of ours is to keep getting officers mental health peace officer certified. So, you know, social media is around now. We're really trying to utilize that for our benefit as well. So we're doing what we can as far as current staffing levels. We are 32 of 32 for officers. We are 8 of 10 for dispatchers. We are 5 of 5 for our IT, animal control, maintenance, admin assistance. So we are 96% fully staffed in public safety right now. We have not had fully staffed officers in well over a decade. So I'm really proud of that. I'm really thankful for the individuals we have. And we have not sacrificed quality for quantity. We have taken our time and meticulously looked for that individual who can be the guardian as well as a warrior, which is a hard person to find. So this is a quick look. So whenever somebody has a contact with a resident or anybody driving through our city, that individual has, we have cards that we have to hand out, and they have my email address on the back, say complaints or commendations, which means, hey, I want to commend this individual, please email me. They also can go online and they can fill out a complaint and commendation form. From 2020, as far back as I could go, these are the annual commendations we've gotten for officers collectively as a department. So in 2020, as a whole department, I was reached out to, or our department was reached out to 44 times to say, hey, your officer helped me, and I just want y'all to know that they did a good job. 2021, 54, 2022, 43, 2023, 54, 2024, 54. 2025, just the first 9 months, we've over 10% higher than the entire year of 24 and 23. So we push exceptional customer service. We say exceptionalism is the expectation. We hire for that culture. We move things around to ensure that culture is set, and we'll continue to do that without apology. So seeing that the culture is taking hold and growing in the sense of a officer, again, who is able to guard and as well as a warrior is something that's special. And I wanted to show y'all that's a measurement that I use on how we are doing, because we're measured by our community. That's what this whole thing is about, is how do our community, what does our community feel about us? That's all that matters. And the more comfortable they are, the more they can call us if they're in an abusive relationship, the more they'll feel comfortable letting us know because they trust us that something is not right. The more kids can do outcries towards us because they see us at these community events and things like that. So that has far-reaching effects. Also, something that we've been able to do is we've actually been able to decrease our operating budget in the last 3 years. With inflation 20 to 25%, we've actually been able to look for ways to assist our community and give funds back in several ways. And some of those ways are we look, and I want to make it really clear. The leadership of City Manager Nylett is the reason we are able to look into these things and speak to him. His experience in law enforcement pretty much assists us greatly to be able to say, hey, we want to look at this. What do you think? And I just really want to thank him for his leadership and mentorship throughout these last well over a year now. So handheld and mobiles. So what we do, we always look at things like, hey, what can we do for less, right? This right here is... to replace this right here is $8,000. This thing right here is $8,000. And they are end of life. I'm not gonna say the manufacturer, but y'all can see it. The manufacturer is no longer repairing them. And if a volume knob breaks, they're obsolete because they refuse to repair them because now they want you to buy the new model, which is the same thing. We partnered up with another company who can offer the exact same thing that is utilized by large departments and military. And as you can see, the nice little emblem right there. And we are getting these for $2,000. So you're looking at $8,000 compared to $2,000. Why do things just because we've always done them? Why? These things can do the exact same thing. They actually have a noise canceling feature as well as playback of the last transmission, which these don't. So we're getting more for less. And this isn't something we're giving every officer. This is going to be phased in when there's break. So we buy a few, put them in storage when there's break. And then we buy a few more. So it's not something we're coming to you and saying, hey, we need $270,000 to replace these radios. So little things like that are a way to save our taxpayers funds and as well as get what we need and not just blindly keep purchasing from the same vendors because that's what we do. So as well as our police unit updates with our 26 miles per gallon Ford Explorers compared to our 16 miles per gallon Chevy Tahoes over the years, as well as the four-wheel drive that the Ford Explorers gives us, or all-wheel drive Ford Explorers gives us compared to the two-wheel drive, as well as the base cost of Ford Explorers, much cheaper than Tahoes. You're looking at over $10,000 a year, and that's repeated every year savings compared to continuing with the old.
I saw one of them the other night.
Yeah, they're nice.
They look amazing.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they are. They are really nice. And Captain Schaefer, who is the one who outfitted them, did a wonderful job in outfitting them. So they're almost ready to be on the streets, but we are saving every year ordering those. And that was a committee created by officers. They made the decision. They had the right to choose a Tahoe, an Explorer, a Durango, Chargers, anything. And they came to me and they said, we think we like these Ford Explorers for A, B, C, or D. And it's their office for 12 hours a day. You know, you want them to be comfortable. And naturally, they also looked at the price savings. Radio agreement, each one of these radios is like a cell phone, right? You get a monthly plan. We pay monthly for each one of these radios. We looked at all of our radios and we compared them to our bill. Which ones are we still using, right? And a year ago, I think now, we were able to cut a bunch of services to ones that, and we can always turn them on if we need them in a phone call. But we're saving as well $2,000 a year in savings. And that doesn't sound much, but it is much to me, you know, and this isn't my money, so I want to do what I can. And as well, fire gear cleaning. So this one was a big one. Every year, TCFP requires our fire gear, full bunker gear, to be cleaned. It's $800 per set to get them clean. And you send them off. So when they're gone, that firefighter has no gear, right? So now you have a firefighter who's pointing on the scene, not really being able to do something, right? Carrying tools for the guys, like really nothing. So $800, we're spending $25,600 a year on cleaning. So sat with our fire marshal, what can we do about that? A simple $8,000 investment into a storage room that we had at the PD, got the tools we needed, got the individuals certified in cleaning, and now we pay zero and zero time down. So now officers go in, they clean their own bunker gear or a certified cleaner, which is one of our officers. They take the class and they get certified in it. They go in there and they clean and we're good to go. No downtime, 2 hour downtime, 3 hour downtime, as opposed to 2 to 3 weeks downtime per officer. So that's another, increases operational efficiency, saves our community $25,600 a year. You add all this up, starts working out. That's why you sometimes see stuff like this happen, which I'm very proud of the individuals who come to us and give us these ideas. They're wonderful. And then I get to go and I speak with city manager about them and we work the logistics and how to make it happen. And it does. So is there any questions that I can answer? Sorry, I talked loud.
We really
fast.
Appreciate it. Congrats yes, on 50 years. I think yeah. That's worth a round of applause.
Yeah.
Yes. I just want to say thank you for the culture that you have created and the way that you put such a high emphasis on diffusing situations and de-escalation.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I can't appreciate that enough. So
yes, sir.
Thank
we actually have the team leader of the negotiators right there. He is the lead
that.
Diffuser.
But yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yes. Wonderful.
Did you say
thank
Reed
you.
Diffuser?
No, he's the lead.
Oh, okay.
Lead diffuser. No.
You shortchanged yourself a little bit. 54 to 64. Mm-hmm. You said 10%. That's closer to about 18%.
I like to be, you know, humble. If I knew it, I would have totally said it. Cool.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank
great
you.
Job. Really appreciate
yes.
it.
Thank you.
Chief, I'll give one more plug for our chief. That was nice of you to give me a shout out, but if not for this man that he stays up with technology, he stays up with trends, he allows his people to come, he's got an open door policy, he's a servant minded leader, and I appreciate what he said, but it's all him and his department. They do a phenomenal job, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, moving on to item number 6. This is the quarterly presentation from Community Services and Development. So our equally talented engineer, Mitch Davison, hello.
Good evening, Mayor.
Good evening.
Mr. City Manager, Council. It's always a pleasure to come up and talk to y'all about the department and what's going on here at the city that we deal with. Am I in control here? That's what I like to see. All right, so I'm going to run through some slides. Most of these are what you've all seen a lot of times. It's going to be a lot of the construction's going on, and then I'll answer any questions y'all might have at the end. So I'm going to start here in Heather Run. This is the Lakes of Cotton Crossing down on the what I call the old golf course here in Woodway. There's one house here left to be done. I know if you've been watching these, it's slowly developing. This one's nearly complete. You can tell by the pictures, so we're looking forward to that. Quail Valley and Turnberry Drive and Pinehurst, this is down in the Westlake Addition. So the middle picture is the first house actually under construction in this neighborhood. So we're finally seeing some development popping in here. I know there's a few more permits that are under review and maybe getting started soon, but this one is actually going, so it's good. Cedar Creek is Lake Forest Phase 3. This is one of the last lots in that neighborhood, so it's good to see that finishing up. Badger Ranch, Torrey Springs, Star Canyon is Badger Ranch Phase 2. These are our larger, what I'd say is more of the estate lots down in Badger Ranch. They're progressing well. I believe this last picture, Ransom Canyon, is the same thing. It's been going for about a year. So this project's getting close. You can see the driveways aren't in yet, so we're still a few months out, but it's getting closer. Tanglewood, this neighborhood's been booming. A lot of our homes are going in here. Denali, Sequoia, Boonfield Drive are all streets. You can kind of see, if you looked about a year back, a lot of these streets were empty. Now they're full. So it's really progressing well. Again, the same neighborhood, Tanglewood with the King Canyon, RW Court and Kenai. We do have I believe y'all approved the next phase of this, which is phase 2, and then phase 3 is actually being submitted. So we're going to see some more growth here in this area. Bradford and Rainbow Drive have been infill lots over in the east side of town. Bradford is it's down on Bradford Square, and Rainbow Drive is back in the Rainbow Lake neighborhood. Ritchie Road, this is Badger Ridge. So this is as you're going down into Badger Ranch from the Merrifield area. These have been sitting empty for a while. We're finally seeing construction here, which is good to see. Moving to more commercial work. This is the restaurant down in Woodway Drive next to the Butcher's Cellar. So it's getting really close. You can kind of see the walls are up and going. Woodway Drive, this is Wickle Ophthalmology. Just got started. The ground's broken. The building's underway. It's a few months away from actually getting complete. These are our Jordan Lane projects. Building 6 is Hanasack Orthodontics. It's gotten their CO now. I believe they're up and running. And then Jordan Lane, the Shell building right beside it, they have not completed this building. It's still in construction, so there's no new tenants yet, but it's getting close to CO. The chiropractor has been CO'd. It's up and running down on Badger Ranch Drive. And the Oak Creek, which is the TFMB bank, they've got their permit and they're finally under construction, so it's really nice to see that going. And then the Dog Wags Grooming is in the Colonnade over by where the old movie theater is, that neighborhood. It's close to CO. That there's a couple of commercial buildings there that they're building that are almost complete as well. I believe quarterly figures are attached in your packet. They're not here in the slides, but just looking at those, we're down from the last few quarters on inspections, but not unseasonal, I would say is the best way to say it. So we're still busy. Inspectors still staying busy. And with the new Tanglewood coming online, I anticipate that picking back up in the next year. On the municipal side of our capital projects, just to give you a quick update, over the last quarter, we've completed our microseal for the year. So we got all that work done. We did the parking lot for the Arboretum, which turned out really nice. That was a really good little project. And then the sewer project, I'm sure we'll discuss it more. I know there's an agenda item for that, but it's progressing. Still really slow, but we are making progress. And those are the big ones. I will answer any questions.
Mitch, you and your team do a great job. And, I don't know if you get nearly the amount of thanks that you deserve. So I just want to take a second to say thank you and really appreciate all the work you guys do.
I'll be sure to tell the guys. I know they
please do. They
appreciate that stuff.
I just thought about when I saw the agenda. I said we do not thank you guys nearly enough as we should, but we wouldn't have all of these amazing things without you guys. So really appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, well, that's it for our presentations for tonight. We're going to move into our public hearings. Wow, sounded very Wacoan right there. Public hearings and related action. Item 7A is the public hearing on request from Matthew Perry for a special use permit for a home occupation, pottery lessons for 1 to 3 students at a time at 9501 Brook Hollow Drive, Woodway, Texas. I'm going to open the public hearing at 6:16. Is there anybody who would like to speak in favor of this request? Now's your time. Yes, sir. If we get your name and address,
yes,
please.
Yes, sir. MJ Perry or Matthew Perry, 9501 Brook Hollow Drive. Dr. Wilkes.
I know.
It's my former pastor.
Oh, amazing.
Plano.
He's keeping an eye on you.
Yes. We would love to do, my daughter and I would love to do pottery lessons for 1 to 3 kids at a time or adults in our garage. That's kind of what we're looking to do. And it's going to be mainly Tuesday, Thursday if it passes. Tuesday, Thursday, 9 to 3-ish.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Anybody else to speak in favor? All right, is there anybody to speak against?
I want to say I'm in favor.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody to speak against? All right, no. Seeing that there's no one, I will close the public hearing at 6:17 p.m. Item 7B is discussion, consider action on the request from Matthew Perry for a special use permit for a home occupation, pottery lessons for 1 to 3 students at a time at 9501 Brook Hollow Drive, Woodway, Texas. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, do you have anything on this?
Just a very general background. We haven't received any issues.
Okay.
That's the summary.
No complaints, no issues. Great. And Mr. Perry has operated his pottery business there for many, many years. So we've enjoyed seeing your work out and about.
Great. I never had any trouble.
Great.
Yeah. I'm excited for this new adventure for you. That seems like a neat opportunity for our community.
And your dad was his former pastor.
I know.
Amazing.
I know.
Amazing.
What
this was meant to be. This was meant to be tonight. Amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, very good. I'll entertain a motion on 7B, please.
I move that we accept the application.
I'll second that.
I'll second.
Thank you very much. Seconds all over the place. Okay.
We got you covered.
Very good. We'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously, and the request is approved. Thank you very much, Council. Thank you. Congrats. Yeah, that's it. Appreciate it. You're very welcome. 8A is the public hearing on application to develop and site development plan in a planned district, Green Accounting Offices, Lot 3, Block 1, Rodney Kroll Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at the southeast corner of Santa Fe Drive and Old McGregor Road. I will open the public hearing at 6:19. Is there anybody speaking in favor of this application? Your pastor's not here, I'm guessing. No, no. Oh, okay. Okay. Just want to make sure. All right. Anybody speak against? Okay. Very good. Well, there being nobody to speak, I'll close the public hearing at 6:20 p.m. Moving on to item 8B, discussion and consider action on application to develop in a planned district, Green Accounting Offices, Lot 3, Block 1, Rodney Kroll Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at the southeast corner of Santa Fe Drive and Old McGregor Road. Motion to discuss, please.
Move to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, do you have anything on this?
Some of it will be repetitive, but I can... let me rattle off this background real quick. Sterling Thompson, the applicant, submitted an application to develop and site development in a planned district, Green Accounting Services, Here's the repetition. Lot 3, Block 1, Roddy Kroll addition to the city of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at the southeast corner of Santa Fe Drive and Old McGregor Road. City staff has requested that the applicant be present to answer any questions from the council. The plans have been reviewed by the city engineer and city staff and have found them to comply. Following the first required public hearing, the Planning and Zoning Commission took action to recommend approval of the application to develop and site development on September 23rd, 2025 as submitted. That is all.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Council, is there any discussion on this item?
I'd like to ask our planning and zoning person, mm-hmm. What is this zone for, this area?
This particular lot zone, planned commercials.
Planned commercial. So yes, it could be any retail, could be restaurant, could be whatever for that area.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I noticed that we had 40 parking places. And the layout of the building, it has 35 employees. So they've got room for five customers. They have a space for rent there that is 1,808 square feet. So if you have the building fully employed, you would only have five places for employees or for that other business. Now, I was looking at our requirements, that's 5,400 square feet, so we're good for office so far as parking places. I think we're supposed to have 300 square feet per parking place for office. So that'd make it about 18. But in this restaurant, in this area, 1880, if it was leased to a restaurant, that would require 18, it's one per 100 just for that alone. We don't have a tenant for it, I can tell. So, we have a parking lot deficit there, and we're on an extremely busy street that you won't be able to park on the street anywhere. You probably have to park down the neighborhood or something. Am I seeing this correctly?
So we can't. Yes, you are correct, if that was a restaurant.
If what?
If that 1,800 square feet was being proposed as a restaurant, that would have to be accounted for. But as it's shown as a office or empty space, we can't calculate the math.
But wouldn't you have to calculate it at the lowest option from the standpoint that it's not restricted? It wouldn't be, we couldn't say you can't put a restaurant in there. So there's a possibility that there might be a restaurant there.
But I can't.
Accounting office. The application's for an accounting office, not a restaurant.
But this leasing space doesn't show that. It just says leasing space, so it could be anything.
So this has passed, this has met all of the requirements of our ordinances, correct, to get to this point?
That's correct.
Okay, and our Planning and Zoning Commission has passed it to get to this point?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Do you not think that there's a problem with you have a office space for 35 people and only 40 parking places, even though the zoning maybe doesn't account for that?
We can ask the applicant to speak to that.
Good evening. To Councilman Russell's question, currently, we do not have 35 employees. This is built for growth. So at the current moment, we don't have that many employees. We will hopefully continue to grow and fill it out. That being said, my wife and I work together. We carpool. We have some employees that are part-time, that are remote. So I would not envision all 35 spaces or all 40 spaces being occupied at any one time. Just by the nature of the business and kind of the way we have our employment structured. And secondly, I will not be leasing it to a restaurant. The plan is for us to grow continually into that space. I am in tentative talks with an insurance company to lease it. They don't have that many employees. They can finish it out, tenant finish out, all that good stuff. So the plan is in the future for me to occupy the entire space. So having a restaurant there would be counterintuitive to my future plans.
Mr. Green, if we could just get your name and address, please.
Yeah, Jonathan Green, 10 Lake Stone Court.
Thank you.
The difficult thing about this is the fact that he's not restricted from doing it. And of course, when someone says, I'm not planning to do it, you never know if that's possible. You know, something might come up. And of course, we're not restricted from stopping him from doing it because of the zoning. Now, this building, we can see that at some time, it's planned for 35 employees. May not have it right now. And of course, we can't say, well, we need people to carpool, because there again, how can you do that? I'm just thinking with this traffic in this location, which is a very high traffic location, that's a wonderful lot there. There's gonna be a parking place issue, even though our zoning may cover the square footage.
Sounds to me like his business and the way that it functions is well suited for the building and the spaces available.
Well, okay, you say that. So I believe he'll grow and he'll be what he's built his building for. Why would you build it for less? And you have 35 employees, 40 parking places. If you rent it to an insurance company, 1,800 square feet, that would not leave you.
Which he's in talks with an insurance.
PNC didn't have a problem with this.
Who?
PNC.
They didn't catch it.
Ah, right.
But we're catching this. And what I'm saying is because of this issue of being a very, I mean, if it was on a street where you could have parking on the street, it'd be a different story. But there's no parking on those two streets. And if you fill up your building, you're gonna have a very tight parking situation. You have very many customers for the accounting or for the, if it's an insurance company, you're going to be parking probably in the street. I see on most of your offices, you have two seats for customers for each seat, for each office. Now, I don't know if you have a lot of people coming in all the time or not.
I think, Mr. Russell, I think the applicant has filed his application for an accounting office. He's allowed by right to build an accounting office right there. And the permitted uses under that zoning, the commercial zoning, I mean, he could put a daycare, he could put a community college, he could put a ton of stuff on there. But the fact is he's complied with all of our ordinances in order to build his building. And the parking issue is a big, it's a what if he puts a restaurant there? What if he puts a daycare there? We don't have any, say in what
it will be a problem. And I guess what I'm trying to say is
just with the offices that he's proposed, and he's right here.
I understand, what I'm saying is if we approve this, we're probably gonna see in time, because I expect him to be successful with this and have enough employees to fill this real estate. I don't think he would want to spend the money and not fill this property up. And same way with leasing the property, you don't want to have a piece of property.
But that's not in our purview. The way he fills his building, his customer list, that's not in our purview.
That's exactly what I'm saying. But I feel like we're going to have problems.
That's not what you're saying. You're trying to derail this man's application because of parking.
Parking.
Because of your personal vendetta against him.
I don't have any vendetta against anyone.
And you're trying to subvert his. By right, he's allowed to have this. And there is no reason why we need to go back on PNZ's recommendation, go on their referral because of a parking spot for an imaginary restaurant.
Well,
The man has said he's
even if it's an insurance company, he has five spots left for the insurance company that would be 1,800.
You're trying to derail this man's application.
I don't have a vendetta against anyone. It's not, I don't appreciate anyone saying that.
What you're trying to do, you're trying to thwart this man's application, and he's followed every ordinance.
Vote how you want to.
He's followed every ordinance, and he's done everything by the book. So it's ridiculous to try and derail this over.
Just pointing out a difficulty we're having.
I'm going to move to approve this application as stated in this district.
Second.
I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
Nay.
All right. We've got one nay, and the rest are ayes. The motion carries with one nay for Mr. Russell.
Wait a minute. Did Mr. Keeston, Councilman Keeston, say?
No, I was just concerned about the fact that if he's going to be renting out to some entity, I mean, it's a valid point. If the kind of entity that he rents out.
We're looking for a vote. We're looking for a vote, Mr. Keeston.
We're done with discussion.
Yeah, discussion's closed.
I'm not sure it's been fleshed out enough, so I guess I'll have to vote nay.
Okay, thank you. Two nays. The motion carries. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 8C is discussion and consider action on site development plan in a planned district, the Green Accounting Offices, Lot 3, Block 1 of the Rodney Kroll addition to the city of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at the southeast corner of Santa Fe Drive and Old McGregor Road. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion on this item? Okay. I'll entertain a motion on item 8C, please.
I move that we accept this site development plan for Green Accounting Offices.
I second.
Been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay.
Nay.
What did Keeston say?
I'm not sure which way he was
going. Did you say aye or nay, Mr. Keeston?
Dave, did you say aye or nay on the last part?
I'm sorry, I was looking at the that word would be moved.
You made a motion.
In concert with the previous vote, I'll vote nay.
Okay, thank you. So we have two nays. And the rest ayes. Motion carries. Thank you, Council. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. That's all we have for the public hearings. We're moving on to item 9. This is discussion and consider action to approve a contract amendment with STV Incorporated for additional construction administration and resident project representative services for the Fairway Gravity Sewer Replacement Phase, number 3, in an amount not to exceed $96,825. And authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Do I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, item number 9, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. There's a lengthy background sheet. I've included it in everybody's agenda packet, the city secretary has. It's a lot of the same stuff you've seen before, so I feel like I'm just going to be droning on and on. I would point out that if this feels like you've seen this recently, you just saw it in May, and the reason we're here again is we can't, well, I don't get ahead of myself. I'll let Mr. Scott Wetzel make his introduction. He's here with us. He's representing STV, which is not DeGuerra. This gentleman's company is our project management.
With I like that, how you clarified. You clarified he's not DeGuerra. No. I like how you did that.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Scott Wetzel with STV, 200 West Highway 6, Waco. What you have in front of you is our proposal based on the contractor's latest schedule. Right now, I realize I've been here before numerous times and explained schedules, but the schedule that they have proposed right now indicates that they're going to finish by January 23rd.
of 2026. So the funding that you see in front of you on this proposal is for construction administration services, as well as RPR, which is resident project representative in the field. Those are our ears and eyes for what the contractor's doing to hold them to the construction documents as best possible. Construction administration services are for communicating with the contractor, the city, making sure that pay applications, any RFIs, requests for information, pay applications, that type of thing, are addressed and processed and submitted to the city. We have regular progress meetings with the contractor and the city staff on a monthly basis, and that's what these services entail. So the proposal you have in front of you is projected out to get our services to January 23rd. That's the best available information we have right now as far as when we anticipate or when we think the contractor will finish based on their schedule that they have submitted. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions you might have to the best of my ability. So,
what do you think the chances are they're going to hit that date?
I did the numbers before I came to the meeting tonight, and they would we have 16 weeks until then. They are roughly 1,600 linear feet from finishing the project, which isn't a lot. The next 900 feet will be challenging for them because it's very tight corridor. After that, once you get past Jim Mark over to Highway 84, it opens up. The pipe is much shallower. It's a smaller diameter pipe. So that portion should go a lot quicker. They have been fighting, oddly enough, as it is dry, but they've been fighting some significant groundwater issues right now, and so that slowed them down. But they would have to average 100 feet per week, and so far they have not done that.
What have they been averaging?
It depends. During good times, it's been somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 50 feet. During less than good times, when they're fighting water and that type of thing, it's been slower than that. So chances are they are not going to finish by January 23rd.
But it's getting easier, you said.
It will after they get past Jim Mark. So they're getting close to that milestone.
Nothing we can do except approve.
And we did have a meeting here recently with the owner of the company, his staff, city staff, our staff, and they re-emphasized that they are committed to getting this project done. They do not want to not finish. I mean, obviously, that's a bad thing for a contractor. So they seem sincere. We believe them. They just need to be able to get more pipe in the ground. So
we're sorry that you're having to be the face of the bad situation.
It goes with the territory. So thank you.
I'm trying to think how to word this. Will this be the last time you come asking for money?
If they finish by January, so these funds that we projected here are to get us through the end of January.
Okay.
If they finish by then you won't have to see me anymore.
It's not personal, I guess.
Right, no, I understand completely. It's money, so it's,
We were just here a few months ago, and
And that was based on their previous schedule where they were saying they were going to be done in August. And it's been that trend.
You know how that makes me a little crazy, so.
Yeah. Understood.
If we had to put chances, it sounds like it's 70%, maybe 75%.
They are 65% done right now. They need to finish the next 35% and then do closeout, which means the entire sewer line would be functional and in place. They would just be finishing up all the, final grading and that type of thing and the odds and ends.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you. I'm going to move on this because I don't want to get too much in the weeds. But I'm going to say this, Council. I'm going to move to approve this item with the stipulation that if STV comes back for more funds, we have an executive session to discuss further action. Because I don't want to pay any more. All right. Do I hear a second?
I second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. I didn't hear him. I think that's an aye. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sir. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Barkley, please note Mayor Pro Tem is leaving at 6:40.
Choir concert.
I'll be right behind you.
Sorry.
Be right behind you. Thank you so much.
I have a senior.
Of course. Of course. Don't want to miss that.
We still have four.
Okay, we've already talked about 10, so we're going to item 11 at this time. Discussion, consider action, ratifying the expenditure of $55,000 to Nacho Ruiz Cement, LLC, for emergency repairs to remove and replace bridge approach on both sides of Estates Drive Bridge due to unforeseen damage and necessary to preserve or protect the public health or safety of the city's resident, pursuant to Texas LOC Government Code 252.0215. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Where's Gilman? Okay.
Yeah, but we still got.
We still have a quorum.
Yeah, it's because of day.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll second.
Second. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Number 11, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. During the week of August 19th, 2025, the bridge on Estates Drive was determined by city staff to require emergency repairs. To address the issue and restore the bridge to safe operating condition, the work was authorized immediately. The repair was completed at a cost of $55,000. As you might remember, I sent an email out the previous week. It was reported to us the bridge had an issue. The approaches to the bridge had an issue. They were beginning to separate. We looked at it and we thought we could get three quotes and have it addressed in a timely manner. And a week later, it drastically began to separate to the point to where I included finance, and I asked our chief and Mitch to come out on site with me to make sure that, even though I deem it an emergency, I want to get the buy-in from the rest of the staff. We unanimously decided it was. I made the call, and we replaced it at a cost of $55,000. Later, the other inquiries we made came back. One was for $85,000. And the third did not respond. So for an emergency situation, that's still a pretty good price. And we were fortunate. The gentleman, Nacho, that was helping us on a sidewalk project, literally feet from this incident, we were able to stop his work there, pull him over. He did 4 or 5 weeks of work there and then continued on to what we had originally hired him for. So good timing and good circumstances. But this is to ratify this $55,000. Because we've already spent it.
All right, looks great. The bridge is back in working order, so I agree. That's a good price. So, Council, this expenditure was for $55,000. City staff recommends the Council to approve it. Do I have any discussion, or I'll entertain a motion otherwise?
You're ready.
I was going to make a motion.
Go ahead. Councilwoman.
I make a motion that we ratify the expenditure of the $55,000 to Nacho Ruiz Cement.
And I'll second.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Councilwoman. Thank you, Councilman Keystone. Moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. All right. It's unanimous, and the motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to our consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial routine and budgeted items which require no public hearing. Consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Council, you have the agenda in front of you, the consent agenda in front of you. Is there any items you'd like removed for separate discussion? There being none, I'll move to item 13, which is discussion and consider action. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Is there a second? All right. All those in favor of the approving the consent agenda, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. Consent agenda is approved as stated. Thank you. Item 14 is our city manager's report. Mr. Manager, any updates for us?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As you can see, it's been a lengthy agenda tonight. Everything that I would report on, we've covered, or that's worth wasting oxygen over. So, tonight, I don't have anything further. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Item 15 is our city council reports. Do we have any reports or updates from council?
At P&Z, we discussed exactly what we did tonight, so, and we don't have a P&Z next tomorrow.
No P&Z tomorrow. Excellent. Thank you, Councilwoman.
Okay, and I'm going to pretend this is show and tell, since I got to attend the 100 Club in Montgomery County, the heart of Texas.
Yes.
That the Woodway Youth Commission was one of the Chief's Distinguished Partner Awards. In part, that was thanks to the funds raised at the Bound for the Brave and other events that they've done in their honor. So I was honored to be part of that. We had a couple of our members there. Chief was there. Former City Manager Sean Newberg was there as well. So, yeah, very proud of the work they did. And we had a recent meeting, which outlining a lot of activities coming up for them with Halloween and Christmas and the like. So we'll be busy the next few weeks or months. Awesome.
Very good. Congratulations to the Youth Commission.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Councilman Zussuri, and thank you to the Youth Commission and the 100 Club. Item 16 is our action on adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion. We adjourn.
I'll second that. We are adjourned at 6:46 p.m. Thank you all so much.
I got a joke.
You got what?
A joke. You got a joke.